C2PR. Number 22B.
Then you go to the next tone, which is Truth as Soul. And that is a paragraph that has always somehow inspired the student, and he always goes back in deep problems, goes back to this very paragraph here of Truth as Soul, because it's one of the most promising statements in the chapter on prayer, which says, become conscious. Now it is become conscious. So for the first time she uses that term, conscious. Of what? For a single moment, that life and intelligence are purely spiritual. That's a great rule that she is bringing out here. So she says, become conscious of life. Become conscious that you go back to life. Go back to the fifth prayer and intelligence that are purely spiritual. If they are purely spiritual, they are what? Neither in nor of matter. The moment you have in and of matter, you have the counterfeit of soul, because soul is never in anything, never in body, never in matter. You get the incorporeal sense of it. Now, can you see why she started out? We said, that's funny, she starts out with that corporeal God, because that's the main claim that we have to meet, a corporeal God and corporeal man. So she has to dissolve that claim of corporeality. And here she begins to dissolve it. So it says, be conscious that life is not in body, that life is spiritual, neither in nor of matter. And then the body will utter no complaints. We, so to say, relieve the body of any difficulty, we relieve the body of its testimony. And that's usually the way we feel, oh, that's wonderful. it only needs one moment. Become conscious for a single moment. Not even need to know, be conscious of it the whole day long, or an hour long, just one moment. And actually, naturally, that's the way she was healing. That her treatment were not very long, not very long drawn, and that's the altitude that she was entertaining in consciousness, and that then the body will utter no complaint. If suffering from a belief in sickness, you will find yourself suddenly well. And you see, we get now the rule of soul that changes. The rule of soul says soul is never in body, is never in matter. Only when we believe that soul is in body, we have the body with all its trouble. But if for a single moment we get out of that consciousness into an incorporeal consciousness, into a soul consciousness, then, she says, the body will utter no complaints, the suffering will be turned, and you find yourself suddenly well. Reformation takes place, the change sets in. So in this way, can you hear very easily the tone of truth as soul, of consciousness as soul, which says at the point of soul, we have to see that life and its expression is not in matter, not in body, that we have to deal, therefore, with God and man as absolutely spiritual. That's why the tone of spirit had to precede the that she said, we have only one master spirit. From that point, she could go to soul and say, all right, if your master is only spirit, then see that your life is also only spiritual. Don't think then that your life is material and that you have to resurrect it somehow from the body. We are not resurrecting men out of the body. We are not resurrecting sickness out of the body and make it well. What we do is something very different, to see that man was never in the body, could never be in the body, and that man has never a body. Then you find yourself suddenly very well, which means if we see that consciousness or man is not the body, then the body cannot do anything to man. Isn't that very logical and very simple? As long as we believe we have a body, the body will pain us. The moment we see that man is not corporeal at all, that he is always outside the body, not in body, that man is spiritual, has no corporeal concomitant, then the body cannot ail us. We relieve, so to say, the body from a false sense. And that's why she can say that turns then sickness or suffering into feeling well. That sorrow is turned into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life, truth and love. Can you hear again another example of changing, of healing? Here she just first shows the rule of healing, that that sorrow is turned into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life, truth and love. That naturally applies also to all other sorrows, not only to the bodily sorrows, but also to all the other sorrows, which usually are much more severe in our life and occur much oftener. We suffer under sorrow much more than under pain, under bodily pain. Usually we go through years and years without suffering any bodily pain, but we always have some trouble in our consciousness. Something troubles us and gives us sorrow, and therefore it applies also to that. And I think that is perhaps a very good training ground for us to try out that this rule really works. Because the moment we are mentally in a state of sorrow, being distressed and being pressed and I don't know what, that is a disease. It's a mental kind of disease which plagues us. Well, to go and sit down and say to oneself, now, old boy, who are you? Are you with the Lord or are you with the body? Are you sitting in a chair and being sorry about yourself, or are you with the Lord? What is reality? What constitutes our reality? Isn't it spirit? Isn't it that the spirit reality is the only reality? And in the measure that we see, golly, I only have to care about what happens in the spiritual, because that's the only reality, then you will feel that you suddenly get relieved of all that trouble. You are no more considering one doesn't consider oneself anymore as a person, as a corporeal person, but one consider what happens in the spiritual realm of being, and one is relieved. Here it is an interesting point. That whole paragraph is interesting. We have to go over it after. Sorrow is turned, she says, into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life, truth and love. That's only the second time in this chapter that Mrs. Eddy uses life, truth and love as a combination. and says, if that life, truth, and love controls us, that brings the healing. What is life, truth, and love? Yes?
That he says that it's the glorious Godhead.
A glorious Godhead, yes. And in the system of science, it is the Word. Huh? In absolute Christian science, it is the triune God, the Trinity, the divine Trinity, the glorious Godhead. Huh? That's the Trinity of it. And which says, if we go out really from the one, from the Lord, to be present with the Lord, well, what does it mean to be present with the Lord? Well, the Lord is that Trinity of life, truth, and love. So if our consciousness rises above the corporeal sense of things into the incorporeal sense of things, we must ask ourselves, what is that incorporeal sense of things? And the answer is, well, it is life, truth, and love, the incorporeal God. Can you hear? She starts out the whole tone of truth as mind with praying to a corporeal God. And so she, because that corporeal God gives us a corporeal sense of men. So the tones must be built up so that we lose step by step the sense that we have to deal with a corporeal God. Because only as we lose the sense of a corporeal God, we will find the incorporeal man. Not before. So here she builds it up and says, that which should control our body, soul controls, is actually the Father, the Godhead, the incorporeal God, which is life, truth, and love. And she goes on, and that makes it even clearer. Then, hence the hope of the promise Jesus bestows. Namely, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. So this is truth. He shall do the works. He shall heal. He will have the dominion of truth. He will have the actuality of demonstration. Under which circumstances? Now he has to give the reason why he can do it. So he said, you can do the same as I do. When? Under which condition? Because I go unto my Father. I go unto my Father. What does it mean? He says, I give you the rule of healing. I give it to you. You can do what I do. Why can you do it? Because I don't do anything else, but I go to the Father. What does that mean? I go. We know that God is life. The Father is life. He says, I go to the source of all existence. I go to the fifth prayer. And that fifth prayer has shown that that fifth prayer is that which constitutes of the first, second, third, and fourth prayer. That fifth prayer is the Father. And if we go to the source, which is the Father, then the effect will be like the Father. And therefore, if you do that, that's truth. We do it. Huh? 6 days shalt thou work and do it. If we do that in consciousness, we have the dominion. So to go to the Father, naturally, for the religious people, this is just a mystery. It's a nice saying. Oh, yes, Jesus, he could go to the Father. How can we go to the Father? We go to the Father, that is the Word, to life, truth, and love. That's our Father. Huh? So again, we can see that the method is always one method. The only method, the only means, which Mrs. Eddy always said, there, afterwards she said, there is only one prayer. There are many kinds of prayer. That one prayer is
we will be able to have dominion over the body when we do the same what Jesus did, namely, that he said, if I want to demonstrate truth, I go to life. If I want to demonstrate truth, I go to life, not to love. He goes to the way. And therefore, Jesus has been described here that he is the way. And when Jesus is described as the way, he's always described as truth and life, not as truth and love. Because Jesus was the one who would show that he is the Christ, and that that Christ can only be the Christ because he goes to the Father, because he goes to life, to the source of being. He demonstrates the source of being, life. Do you see that? The difference, huh? And then Mrs. Eddy puts into brackets a kind of explanation, that because the ego, what is the ego? The ego is our true I, huh? The true divine subject, ego, so soul, huh? It's soul. Because our ego, our true ego, it's with a capital E, huh? Our true ego is absent from the body. Again, she goes back to the absent from the body and present with truth and love. That's interesting. Huh? Now she brings in again truth and love as we had before once. Huh? Can you see what he says? He says, I go to the Father. I go to the source. Only from the source I can have dominion. But what does the source constitute? The source says, you know, I have always been what I am. I'm always truth and love. Truth and love says, all that what is true is already fulfilled. That's truth and love in absolute Christian science. You have science in absolute Christian science, which always says, when you go out from the absolute, think of it, that actually at the point of absolute Christian science, everything is already fulfilled. It's at the point of absolute fulfillment. The truth is already fulfilled, love. You don't have to make it be. So if I go back to the Father, to life, and say, what is your nature? What constitutes you, Father? He says, oh, I'm truth and love. I'm that truth that was eternally true, that was eternally fulfilled. Nothing has to be done in my realm. So you hear it's a terrific, wonderful sense of soul, huh? The ego, says, what is our true I? Actually, the moment I have the I have that aspect of consciousness which says, what is my subjective consciousness? What is subjective is the ego, huh? The I, the thinking ego. What is my thinking ego? And it says, that is not in the body. So, where is it? It is outside the body. What is outside the body? I go to the source of my being, to the Father, to life. And what do I find when I go to the Father? The Father says, you know I exist. What do I exist? I know that's not English, but that's how it turns out. What is it, huh? That I, that exist? He doesn't say that's life. He says that's much more. That's showing the whole content of life. Namely, that all the truth that has ever existed is already at the point of perfection. So that we get the sense that we really don't have to make a demonstration. We are then the demonstration. We are going to truth and life. She goes on and says, at once, the Lord's Prayer. Now she comes with the Lord's Prayer, which afterwards she explains. The Lord's Prayer is the prayer of soul, not of material sense, giving us already an indication what the Lord's Prayer will be, that Lord's Prayer is actually an explanation of what's going on in this tone of truth as soul. Namely, we'll see there that the Lord's Prayer says, if you turn to the Father, these are the first three statements, then the Father is with you, that's the fourth statement, and then you have it. And then you get the last three statements in the Lord's Prayer, which says that you have it. But we'll refer to that when we are in the Lord's Prayer. But it gives a real good introduction already that really says that really the key for demonstration or for answering prayer is really here at truth and soul. Why is it so? Because truth changes. Truth, the soul, changes. Soul changes. And what we ask from prayer is that something is being changed, or we wouldn't pray. That's the purpose of praying. That a situation which seems to be wrong will afterwards to be seen in its right form. So it's a great turning point here. That I think that's why quite naturally students always feel attracted to this paragraph. Isn't that your experience, that this paragraph was always quite an attraction? Because there's such a great promise in it. It says, just turn for a single moment and things are different. We go on to the next paragraph. Yes, that's a short paragraph, but again, quite full of insight. Entirely separate. Now it's not only separate. So now it is entirely separate. So it builds on that subtone of truth as spirit, where you had to be with the Lord or to be with the body. It says now, entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living, that was shown before, is life divine. That's the Father that lives, is life divine. Revealing spiritual understanding. Revealing spiritual understanding and what? And the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. Now you get the dominion. First we had the rule in soul, said I give you the rule. The rule is to get out from the belief that you're in matter and rise above it. And now if you are risen above it and you are completely and entirely separate from it, then you get the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth, with all the authority of it, principle. This understanding casts out error. You have truth, that main tone of truth, and heals the sick, and with it you can speak as one having authority, principle. So she builds it up to a higher state and says, we certainly can get an authority so that we are really having dominion, and with that dominion we can cast out error and heal the sick. And with it you can speak as one having big authority. Well, just let's go over it again in the rhythm what have we seen? We haven't really considered our epitomes anymore. But let's run through those first four. It is all a question of how to have a spiritual consciousness. We say, and each student knows, what is necessary is that we spiritualize consciousness, that we should have a spiritual consciousness, and that with a spiritual consciousness, everything will be fine. And we say, oh, that's so, huh? How do I get it? That's always the next question we should ask. And then usually one doesn't get an answer. Here, Mrs. Eddy will build it up, that answer, and say how you get really a spiritual consciousness. And so she said the very first thing in mind, naturally, is that we should have a knowledge of God first. So knowledge is something that goes on within our consciousness. And we build up a true knowledge instead of an ignorant knowledge of God. It was all about ignorance and ignorance and ignorance. And the fact to it would be to have a knowledge of God. Then as spirit, we would see that the consciousness that dwells in the spiritual, or that consciousness must dwell in the spiritual, to abbreviate it, and not in the material. It was all about, do you have two masters, or have you one master? Is your master spirit and matter, or is your master matter, or is your master spirit? We have, so to say, three choices, and only one choice is right. So she says, be present with the Lord, which is spirit. So stick to that consciousness that knows the Lord, in mind, and don't mix it up with anything else by knowing the body. So don't mix it up. If you don't mix it up, then you have a spiritual consciousness, and that has a reforming power that turns sickness into health, that turns sorrow into joy, that consciousness. And in principle it says, and that is that that gives authority over error. Actually, I think what I have written here, you see, I already began to change it. It isn't so quite to the point. I have written here, it has dominion over the compound idea, earth, and authority over the whole earth, over error and sickness. I felt this is going too far. It's an interpolation, actually, not an interpretation, when I take instead of earth, because she says we have dominion over the whole earth. We could interpolate that or interpret it, the earth, as the compound idea, as Mrs. Eddy does in the glossary. We could do that. But I felt that actually she didn't want to bring out already at this point really the compound idea man, because prayer does not yet talk about idea. That's why I felt perhaps you change that a little bit, and not to talk about idea, we can put that. It has authority, you can say, trace out dominion over the compound idea, earth, and trace that out, and just say it has authority over the whole earth and over error and sickness. Well, what she wants to bring out is just the authority. Now we have lost our thread, huh? Yes?
To ask you, why didn't life in there, that individualized word, at that point?
We are at principle, not at life.
I thought I was in principle. Yes, is the life divine? I'm sorry, I am there.
Oh, well, in the text, yes, you have life divine.
Yeah, I was qualifying
that. You see, she compares material life with life divine.
So we must make that separation between material life and the true life, which is life divine. So she says, don't have a belief and a dream of what? Of material life. Entirely separate from that, from material life, is divine life. Just life. Now, you see, I think we have to be careful. Interpretation and interpolation are two different things. That's a good point to bring in.